Saturday, I think it is. And then the crimson field, giving us a very vivid idea, maybe not accurate in all points, but slightly romanticised, of what it was like to be in a field hospital in the First World War. And one of the programmes I found most moving was the one in German, produced by German producers and cast and so on, giving the saga of the lives of five friends who found themselves teenagers at the beginning of the First World War and went off either to fight or to work in hospitals. And one of them was a Jew, so it brought that aspect of the whole thing in. But that was about the Second World War, but it was very moving because it was about something we don't often look at. But as we're here this morning and we see all those candles, just from what in 1914 was a tiny community, 34 candles from our little part of Britain lost in the First World War. My main response is to feel overwhelmed. And it reminds us that although wars embrace everybody and involve everybody, the people who are involved are individuals, men and women like you and me. And they all have their own stories to tell. That, I think, is important to remember whenever we're talking about wars. We each have our own story to tell. Now, you've heard me before going on about my childhood. From my bedroom window, I looked out, not when I was one or two, but when I was three, four or five, I looked out down onto the Thames and across to the docks, which, of course, was the target for a lot of bombing. Not actually only in the Second World War, but in the First as well. And so that's where I was. That's some of my earliest memories. And just before the war ended, we had a sort of introduction to your primary school, which I went to with some of my mates and mums leading us. And you went down Convichy Gardens and then just up and into the park, and the school was the other side of the park. And we just got to the bit where we went into the park, and me and my mates were doing something over there, and the siren went. That terrible noise that I've only just got over, that gives you a feeling at the bottom of your stomachs of dread. And I know even at that age it went through my mind, would this be a rocket like the gap at the top of Kinvichi Gardens, or would it be a landmine that had produced a crater at the bottom of the road, or would it be just a little bomb that demolished one or two houses? It was not the best way to grow up. But we've got an exhibition tomorrow, which I hope we'll be able to look into, and that has got all sorts of personal things, personal tales of what people were involved in. There's going to be a service at Westminster Abbey broadcast on television. And we will remember that dreadful phrase of Lord Grey, the lights are going out all over Europe and will not be lit again in our lifetime. That was perhaps a little over-pessimistic, but nevertheless, the First World War changed the life of every one of us here. My uncle Harold was in the army even by May 1914, and he survived and came out in 1919 in the spring, and he's written a memoir which is called With the Heavies in Flanders. He didn't mean his compatriots, he meant the artillery. But there was this book, and it was in the bookshelf at home. And I can remember getting it out and saying, shall I read it? Well, dear, you'll find it very heavy, which was the sort of family joke. And I don't know that I did read it as a child at all. I looked at a few pages and decided, yes, it was pretty heavy. But the interesting thing is, nobody talked about it in the family, and Uncle Harold, as far as I know, never talked about it. Because the tragedy of war and the involvement in war is generally beyond words. Well, that was 100 years ago, but what about today? What about the last few weeks? Have we not had an almost up-to-date replay of leading into the First World War? 300 people downed by mistake in an aeroplane because of war. Iraq, Syria, maybe Afghanistan, Libya, Egypt, blasted to bits, almost unrecognizable. And besides that, South Sudan, the new country, the new division to bring peace between Muslim and Christian, at war with itself and smashed by civil rivalries. Massacres not very long ago in Rwanda involving millions. It's so familiar, and of course it's so sickening, isn't it? I didn't know quite which readings to choose for today, and so I asked Dick to read from Isaiah and Jan from John's Gospel. But in Isaiah is that sort of mandate, really, of what we believe. A child has been born for us, a son is given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he's named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. What's that all about? Or is it just words? Is it just empty promises? No, it is not. What that one man, Jesus, in Nazareth did, not 100 years ago, but 2,000 years ago, has had repercussions upon our world beyond speaking or measuring. In our service this morning, we're going to use the words, Almighty God, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. This is his story. This is his song. This is our story. This is our song. God in Jesus Christ alone brought reconciliation, made peace, built bridges, and unleashed the work of the Spirit to remake human lives. It's we who don't see it. Some people in our time have seen what God could do with one person. I suppose Nelson Mandela is probably the outstanding example. He said, "No one is born hating another person because of the colour of his skin, or his background, or his religion. People must be taught to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite." Abraham Lincoln, president around the time of the Civil War in America, said, "Am I not destroying my enemies when I make friends of them?" Jesus said, "When I'm lifted up," and he meant, of course, when he was to be crucified, He said, I'll draw all people to myself. And when the crowds saw his followers, the first disciples, and what they were saying and what they were doing, and the joy and the thrill that they had, they said, these men and women, of course, are turning the world upside down. And they did, and they have. And it's because of that focus of God's love, which we see burning and shining out in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that we have this hope. And you and I are called to be people of hope. It would be so sad if in celebrating the First World War, we ended up depressed. Because we're people of hope. And the whole world can be people of hope because of what God has done. Let me end with the story of an Iranian pastor, Farshid Fati, who has been in Evin prison for 43 months because he's a Christian. He wrote recently, when the bad nights of our life end, we may open our eyes and think that our Heavenly Father has at last just come. But in reality, he was not only there in the morning, but he was there all through the dark nights of our life. So I'm absolutely sure that finally the Son of Justice will rise with healing in his wings. So let's be people of hope and vision. Let's remember those words we heard in our gospel. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. But to keep hoping and to keep loving and to keep joy is a miracle. It must be the motto of our community here at St. John's, always. Because Jesus has given us the peace to let it grow in our hearts. Given us the joy to sustain us in our fight. Given us the love to bind us together for building his kingdom, which will never end. It's a fight for hope against despair, of truth against ignorance, of trust against indifference, of love against hate. But let's rejoice in Christ as we look realistically at our world and play our part in his kingdom amongst it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our uniqueness, and we thank you for your unique communication with us all. Help us when we feel down. Help us to be compassionate, to become peacemakers and bridge builders for your glory's sake. Amen.